The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 158. Appreciate you hanging out with us on this Friday morning. Gil Alexander and Kelly Bidlin.
Heyo.
Heyo. Beating the book is my Twitter. We never do this.
That's right. At Kelly Bidlin is mine.
At Kelly Bidlin is his.
And make sure to get all of the VSiN shows on podcast form.
That's right. If you don't listen to us live, check us out on the podcast. Every show has its own podcast, and Numbers Game is no exception. Or just check us all out of the VSiN Watch app. Great, seamless way. You're like, what did Mitch and Paul say in hour number one last Tuesday? Bang. VSiN Watch app. Seamless to get there.
Scrub right through to that very second.
That's right. What did Joe Cirillo say in segment 7 last Friday? VSiN Watch app. Bang.
You have to say bang.
Have I made my point?
Yeah, you have to say bang, though.
You have to say bang. Yeah, if you don't say bang, it doesn't call it. Doesn't do it. Still to come this hour, Adam Burke will join us. Talk Major League Baseball. His Guardians are 500. We'll do that with Adam. And we'll find out when exactly is that NFL betting guide coming out this summer, which he, of course, is the author of. Mike Somich, co-host of Ready, Set, Bet. We'll talk hockey and horse racing with us. By the way, real quick, before we get to Felica, who's back from Europe, reviewing our two documentary recommendations. Mm-hmm. I added a third. One of them sports. The Untold on Netflix with Gilbert Arenas and Javaris Crittenden. About the guns in the locker room incident with the Wizards in 2008. Spectacular documentary with both Gilbert and Javaris being interviewed current day.
I got to watch that.
It's fantastic.
I told you, it's so great. I actually sat down to watch it and started the one you're about to talk about instead. And then I burned through it.
Well, and then there's the Bin Laden one.
Yeah, which
is amazing. For a bit of something different. The Bin Laden 3-part docuseries is amazing. American Manhunt, Osama Bin Laden, also on Netflix. And then the third one, which I just started watching yesterday, Tylenol Murders. For those of a certain age, you remember that from 1982. That is on Netflix as well. Really, really interesting. All of those. Those are your documentary.
What was going on with Tylenol back in those days?
Someone laced Tylenol with cyanide.
Really?
7 people died. Yeah, 1982.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
But the country freaked out. It was a little before my time, Gil.
A little before your time. The country did freak out. Absolutely. Rightfully so. Ladies and gentlemen, he has not been in the country, but he's got a lot of docs to catch up on now. It's Christopher Felica, the Bear, from Fox Sports, joining us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Chris? Welcome back.
I'm well. I figured I would throw my black T-shirt on to join you and Kelly back in black here today.
Okay. Now, see the difference in those colors,
he
Kelly?
He really, really said that, like, his Kelly's shirt has a tint of blue.
No. Yeah.
Repeat yourself. Yourself, Chris.
Yeah, exactly.
No,
you're the one that must be colorblind.
No. What Kelly said is, my shirt is black. There is no hint of anything else in it. Your shirt is black. Now look at Kelly's shirt. Is that the same color? It is not.
No.
Okay.
No, but it's definitely not blue.
Yeah, but Chris,
I didn't call it blue. I said a tint of blue. Yeah.
Chris has got a sharp, brand new black T-shirt on. That's what's going on. Mine's slightly faded. Yours is more faded.
It's not faded. It's a different color.
Okay.
Okay, anyway.
Chris had my back.
I'm sure this is...
By the way, appreciate the Netflix suggestions, by the way. Now we have no hockey for a few days.
We have a break here. Okay, where did you go in Europe? What did you like best? What did you like least?
We did Prague, Vienna, and Budapest with a little day trip to Bratislava in there. It was awesome. I loved Budapest. Two completely different parts of the city. Buda Castle district up on the hill, the Pesh district down below, more of a hustle and bustle. It was fantastic. Prague, I love the attitude of the Czech people. Not to give you a kind of a history lesson here, but we were walking around with one of our guides, and she lived during the Soviet occupation when they're under rule. And they did talk about the way the Czech people kind of live these days. Like our lives were structured and planned for so long. I mean, we don't have structure and plan anymore. You just kind of take it one day at a time and on a whim. So I love that attitude there. And then we did Vienna as well. and walked around, and we saw a little we saw the Royal Symphony Orchestra there in Vienna, which had and Aaron Schatz's doppelganger in there. It was great.
You're so cultured. It's so cultured.
What'd you wear to that, Chris?
It was great.
Yeah. What did you
I wore a button down with a sweater and some nice slacks. Did not throw on a jacket. Okay. Did not have to.
Man said slacks. All right, here we go. Yeah. Let's start with the Champions League. Let me guess, your Oppo Paul Carr.
No, not at all. We're seeing this thing pretty similarly. If you go back since that Liverpool Real Madrid Champions League final, it was 2018 when Sergio Ramos dislocated Mo Salah's shoulder on purpose, and then they had a concussed goalie from Sergio Ramos as well. And that was 3-1. All these games have gone under. 1-0, 2-0, stuff like that. So I think with the defense that PSG has, and Paul touched on Jan Sommer and Donnarumma and the way these keepers make some unbelievable saves, I think we're looking at another under 2.5 type of game. And I even might take a little bit of a nibble on a draw, like plus 235 or so. I could see this very as good in the attack as PSG are. They did only manage the one goal against Liverpool over the course of the two matches back in around the 16 when they advanced. So Inter Milan is certainly a little leaky, but the defense of PSG, I don't think Inter Milan are going to score very many. I could see this 1-1 potentially going to extra time. So I'm going to play under 2.5, and I'm going to play draw. But I'm kind of rooting for PSG because I would love it for them to finally win the Champions League. No Neymar, no Mbappe, no Messi, none of these like super teams. That's why I hate Real Madrid. I hate Barcelona. I hate City. I hate all these teams of money. They just buy up all these players. Let PSG in the way they've built now and developed players and brought some new guys in. It would be a nice little thing to see PSG finally get their first title.
Yeah, I might take a little nibble on the draw with you there. I like that. Let's go to the College World Series. You have a play.
Yeah, I figured I would poke the bear Kelly Bidlin there. I played Mississippi State around plus 300 to win the region and 50-1 to win the College World Series. Ooh. Fired their coach who led them to a title a few years back. Been playing really well. They won 9 out of final 10 regular season games since elevating Justin Parker to be the interim manager. They got plenty of bats. Ace Reese, the SEC newcomer of the year. Noah Sullivan, who can pitch as well. Hunter Hines, who I believe is the all-time home run leader in the program. Obviously, their pitching depth is a little bit of an issue, but they do strike a lot of guys out so they can get some easy outs. It's a good test today. I believe it's today against Northeastern, who's a good pitching team. 27-game winning streak. And Killick, I'm not really trying to get Kelly wound up here, but at the same time, Kelly knows the history with Florida State and their inability to win the College World Series, even get there at times.
Yep.
This was kind of a year where I think it's almost like house money for the Noles. Remember, they did bring back Jamie Arnold, but they lost like three of their top four arms. They lost their top four bats from last year. I think Lake Jarrett's team is really overachieved, and then the number 9 overall seed. I think this region is right for an upset. Maybe Mississippi State has a little bit of magic. The old Diamond Dogs, like their in-state rival Ole Miss did a couple of years ago when you cashed that huge ticket. So Miss State 50-1 is worth a flyer, I think.
I like it.
So Chris on Mississippi State, you on Northeastern, and me on Florida State. That should all work out well for all of us.
Yes. I'm on a few teams, but Northeastern is one.
Someone's going to win.
Yeah. I'm also on Vanderbilt in Texas as well. All right, let's go to hockey. The Oilers and the Panthers, part deux. The series is a coin flip. Do you have a play on the series or do you have a play on Conn Smythe?
I'm not going to play the series. A lot of times, though, we've seen in recent, the last time you had a rematch the following year was Pittsburgh-Detroit, and Pittsburgh got revenge. I can remember growing up in 83, 84, when the Islanders beat the Oilers, and then the following year, the Oilers got their revenge. So a lot of times you see the team that loses the previous year get revenge the following year. Should be a great series. I took a little bit of a dart throw flyer on Brad Marchand to win Conn Smythe 60-1. Probably a loser. I openly admit it. I've made worse bets. But again, he's got 14 points. He's plus 11. Obviously, he's an antagonist, a pest. He's going to have a big say if they win this series and kind of getting inside the heads of McDavid and Draisaitl and some of the other Edmonton goal scorers as well. And remember, if he doesn't score that overtime game winner against Toronto in game three, they easily could be down 3-0 in that series and it's lights out and they're not here. So I think Marchand, despite the fact that the Cats have a bunch of options there to win the award, I think it might be worth just a little bit of a pocket change on him at 60-1 to win.
All right, three different sports seems light on a Felica segment. Let's go for a fourth.
I know. I got an NFL play, too.
NFL awards play. What do you got?
Yeah, I bet Jonathan Gannon at 20-1 to win Coach of the Year. I actually got a little bit of a boost up to 30-1 on that, which was nice. But remember, they were 8-9 last year when people thought they were going to stink. They played hard every week. That division, I think, is in kind of transition right now. With I think the Seahawks are going to be down this year. Who knows what's going to happen with the Niners? Can the Rams run it back? And if you look at the Cardinals' record, maybe you go over 8.5 wins because they start Saints, Panthers, Niners, Seahawks, Titans, Colts, Packers. That's their pre-bye week slate right there. They could be 5-2 entering that bye week. And at that point, the win total price is gonna go up. Maybe you go under and look for a little middle. And Gannon certainly wouldn't be 20-1 at that point. So added a lot of defense in the draft with Nolan. Will Johnson added Sweat in free agency. So I'm scarily, eerily high on the Cardinals and what could possibly go wrong with having a confidence in Kyler Murray and Aaron Cardinals, right?
I can't think of anything myself. Chris, as we go, Iga is through to the round of 16. She plays the winner of Rybakina and that hamburger and that kryptonite Ostapenko. Who you got, Rybakina or Ostapenko? Who you got?
I'm going to go with Rybakina. She okay. played so well last play tournament. I think she. It's amazing that Ostapenko really hasn't been great there
please.
Since winning the French Open. But
please be reminded.
It'll be interesting.
Yeah. Sure. Thank you, Chris. Welcome back. Coming back with Adam Berg next.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Smarter bets start with VSiN Pro, and now's the time to join through May 31st. Lock in 14 months for just $199. Two extra months free when you use promo code PRO at checkout. That's less than 50 cents a day. I did the math. A daily email with best bets from VSiN hosts and guests. Real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa. 24-7 live video and replays on the VSiN Watch app. Full access to VSiN.com's analytics, trends, and expert breakdowns. Plus, get the 2025-26 NFL betting guide when it drops this summer. Whew. Limited time offer ends May 31st. That is tomorrow. So don't miss out. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. Use promo code PRO to sign up now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe.
14 months. That's like almost more than a year, Gil.
Almost more. Yeah, almost more. Product of Florida State University. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Brooklyn Betts. There was no dead heat at Caesars last month. Mets had most wins in April. Oh, yeah, because Caesars did April. I was referring to March, April. You're correct. So there was no dead heat at Caesars because Caesars, for whatever reason, they didn't include the games at the beginning of the season, the five or so games of in March. Kevin Ryan, Gil, while we're talking about documentaries, you need to watch Turning Point Vietnam on Netflix. Usually not into this kind of stuff, but it's one of the best docs I've ever watched.
Okay.
And then Stringfellow Hawk, the Tylenol murders was the reason, yes, that tamper-resistant safety seals were placed on over-the-counter medications. He's absolutely right. Think about this. Before you were born, in 1982,
yeah.
The dark ages,
yeah.
Right? There was no such thing as tamper-resistant safety seals. You would open the top of a little
what do you mean?
Thing
what?
Of medication. There are the capsules.
You're talking like that metallic,
the aluminum foil, the seal.
Did they still have annoying childproof tops?
I don't even remember if we had that.
Man, you guys were living dangerously back then,
dude. Absolutely,
BKB
we were.
Before Kelly Bidlin, you were living
also,
dangerously.
Also, like, I mean, think about all the things you see about serial killers in the 70s and 80s because there were no cameras anywhere.
Yeah, people were putting razor blades in their Halloween apples and candies and stuff.
That
yeah.
was our thing in school. They were always like, don't eat an apple. If you get an apple in your trick or treat, don't eat it.
I don't think we were
scared straight about razor blades and apples.
Who was running for an apple, anyways?
No, we weren't.
You were throwing it back at that house anyways right afterwards.
I don't know, but you're like 7 years old. You see caramel on an apple. You're like, well, that looks pretty good. Maybe I'll just take a chomp on this. Yeah, it was rough back then. Adam Burke joins us. He remembers the time. Adam Burke joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, part of the glue that holds this whole operation together. You can follow him on Twitter at Skating Tripods, one of the great Twitter handles of all time. How you doing, Adam?
I'm good. Good to chat with you boys again.
Okay, we just mentioned the NFL betting guide. You, sir, I know you have co-authors. I know it's a group effort, but you are at the helm of this kind of thing. Remind us, the date that this will be out this summer will be?
Tuesday, July 1st.
Tuesday, July 1st, as if Adam's got that date in his head. He's like, oh, no, Tuesday, July 1st.
Hey, Adam, is it tougher to write and organize all this stuff or actually get all the people at VSiN that you need to contribute to actually follow through?
Yeah, I mean, tracking everybody down is a multi-week process to make sure everybody knows the deadline. Everybody's, you know, actually checking their emails, all that kind of thing. You know, I run the risk of, you know, if I send it to your VSiN email, maybe you don't check that. So I send it to some personal emails as well. But, look, the nice thing is, I mean, we really stagger the deadlines for submitting things here because this is a big project. I mean, it's not as big as our, you know, college football guide just because of, you know, all the conferences and all that kind of thing. But, you know, this is a very big project and we've added some really interesting feature articles for this year. So, you know, in order to help out Matt Devine, our guide designer, help out our editors, we have staggered deadlines for all this stuff. So, you know, we get everything kind of day by day. We're able to put it all together. But yeah, there's a reason I saved that for last, getting all the best bets from our VSiN hosts and other experts, because I know that's going to be the most arduous task of them all.
Ladies and gentlemen, what you have just witnessed is Adam Burke in code scolding me right here on the show.
It's okay, Adam. Once every couple months, I get a, hey, Kelly, I didn't get a rundown. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure you did. And he's like, oh, wait, my inbox is full. Never mind.
I'm sorry.
It's just, you know what? There's it's always sunny in Las Vegas. There's not a lot of shade. So somebody's got to throw it, right?
Hey, there you go.
Hey. Okay. Well, speaking of football and an NFL guide, have you yourself, I know you're not just a baseball guy, for goodness sakes, you've got opinions and bets in other sports. What is your strongest conviction, whether it's a future in the NFL, an award, whatever it is that you've got going right now?
Yeah, so I'm a big fan of Denver this year. I mean, I think that Denver's season win total is low at 9.5. I think there's a very good chance that they end up winning the AFC West division here at, you know, 3-1 or whatever the best price is out there that you can find. I like the way the schedule shakes out for them. This defense is going to be elite. We know that. There's a lot of depth to that unit as well. Second year for Bo Nix. And remember, I mean, they started 0-2 last year and then finished 10-5 the rest of the way. So they definitely figured things out on the fly. But, I mean, you get Tennessee at home to open up the season, should at least start 1-0. Colts game on the road, Chargers on the road. I mean, the schedule is, you know, not super easy. It's never going to be when you're in a division as good as this one is. But I do think that, you know, with the third place schedule, with, you know, their home field advantage, obviously, they get Jacksonville to come on the road to Denver late in the year. They get the Chargers to come outside on the road late in the year. I just think that this schedule sets up pretty nicely for this team. The bye week is a little bit late, especially when you consider they do have an overseas game. But, I mean, this defense is incredible. And I think Sean Payton kind of has the offense where he wants it now. And, you know, I mean, the Chargers could be really good. The Chiefs could be really good again. But the Chiefs have a really weird schedule. A bunch of standalone primetime games, playing on holidays, all this different kind of stuff. Patrick Mahomes really wasn't good during the regular season last year for long stretches. I like the Broncos over 9.5 wins and plus 300 to win the division.
Yeah, I at one point, not when the sequencing of the schedule just came out a couple weeks ago, but when we knew the opponents and all the markets were out, I gave Kelly a list of 5 season win totals. I love the Giants under the most. But the only over that I had on that group of 5 was the Denver Broncos. So we are simpatico on that. And I could not have been more wrong. You think about all the things you've been right about and all the things you've been wrong about. Bo Nix is top of the list. Like, I just raised my hand. I will be the front of that line. I was like, wow, I did not see that coming. And so Broncos, with all the hope in the world, heading into the 2025 NFL season. Okay, to Major League Baseball. You and I, we were oppo on your Cleveland Guardians pre-flop here on their season win total. The Guardians are 5, despite having, I should point out, Adam, despite having a minus 17 run differential, your Guardians are 5 games above 500. So they're doing that thing. Mark Borchardt, for instance, one of our favorite guests, he says they're the team most likely for regression, and it's backed up by those numbers. But they're 30-25. They bank the wins. Nothing I could do about it right now. How do you feel about them?
I mean, they find ways, right? You know, and the thing that's been kind of irritating this season, I mean, there's been a couple of things, right? They're not as crisp defensively. You know, you lose Andre Ximenez. That's going to be a thing. Brian Rocchio just can't hit, so they sent him down to the minor leagues. Stephen Kwan, there's a really interesting thing going on with Stephen Kwan's sprint speed this year where he's trending in the wrong direction.
Ooh.
And I know that he had chronic hamstring issues at Oregon State. They've kind of popped up a little bit now at the MLB level. Lane Thomas is dealing with plantar fasciitis, so we'll see what kind of happens with that. Defensively right now, they have some issues. And obviously the pitching staff has plenty of issues in the starting rotation where you never know what you're going to get from Tanner Bibee or Gavin Williams. Luis Ortiz is inconsistent from pitch to pitch. Parker Messick's probably going to make a start here sometime soon with Ben Lively now out for the year. There's a lot of moving parts for this team, and yet they've still found a way to go 30 and 25, as you mentioned. So I do agree that there are a lot of regression signs in the profile for this team. Travis Bezanna is now out for 8 to 10 weeks with an oblique, so not many reinforcements coming from below. They're probably a 500-ish team. You know, I mean, the bullpen is still pretty solid, and they're getting some of those arms back too, like an Eric Sobrowski, Trevor Stephens on his way back. But they're probably a 500 team. I mean, the other thing that's been kind of bothersome is Steven Vogt is being hyper aware of protecting the bullpen guys. Like, he's going to lesser relievers down a run, down two runs, and with a bad offense, all of a sudden they're down three or four and they can't come back in games. So that's been a little bit problematic here, but they also haven't had many off days in May. So they got kind of worn down a little bit. We'll see what they do in June, and we'll see how they try to hang around in this race.
That feels like Stephen Vogt countering his behavior last year to some degree, right? Like, he's almost overcompensating the way that he handled the bullpen last year. Do you have any bets today in Major League Baseball? Have you made any?
Yeah, so there's a couple. I mean, I know that most of us don't like Taijuan Walker. I know the market doesn't like Taijuan Walker at all, but I like the Phillies here today. I mean, I know that they're coming off of a doubleheader yesterday. I at least like them for the first five. I mean, their bullpen has been an adventure, to say the least, throughout the course of this season. But I like them for the first five here. I mean, they hit left-handed pitching really well. DL Hall is a guy who's just, he's never really figured it out at the MLB level, can't stay healthy. And I think there's a chance, because DL Hall's not very stretched out, that Aaron Ashby piggybacks him, and Ashby's another left-hander. So I think that the Phillies offense is set up pretty well here. Walker gets a pretty good matchup against a bottom 10, borderline bottom five, you know, over the last few weeks, Brewers offense. So I think the Phillies for the first five, laying a bit of a price, minus 135, is probably my favorite play of the day. Another one that's worth looking at here real quick, Athletics and Blue Jays, yes, for a first inning run. Jeffrey Springs and Chris Bassett, both awful in the first inning this season.
Okay, and the Phillies, of course, unbeknownst to them, they get a win today. They will clinch at least a dead heat in the May most wins market.
That pop the so champagne.
That's right. They might even pop the champagne. Thank you, Adam. Great seeing you, man. Appreciate it.
Have a good one, boys.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The final jewel of the Triple Crown is here. Well, a little more than a week away anyway. The Belmont Stakes. And there's no better time to bet the races than right now with First Bet. New users can get a $200 sign-up bonus. Just use promo code VSiN200. Whether you're a seasoned horse player or brand new to the sport, First Bet has all the tools to elevate your game. Download the app or go to firstbet.com/VSiN to sign up today. That's firstbet.com/VSiN. Promo code VSiN200 for your $200 bonus. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Logic 3227. Same color, different shade.
Yep.
Apparently our shirt.
That is correct.
3Jack, H3131. Kelly needs to set up a Gil Checks His Email segment each week. Also, drinking from garden hoses and eating apples with razor blades just made us all sharper people when we were kids. Chris Heath says, he goes, you were lucky to have a razor blade in your apple. He says, my neighbor handed out scripture for Halloween.
Oh, my gosh.
I remember those. I mean, we had one of those in our neighborhood, too.
Are you serious?
Yes, I think so. That rings a bell.
I mean, like, I don't know about everybody else out there, but like I was one of those not great kids on Halloween. And like, I mean, if it was a house handing out apples and stuff, oh, yeah. Boy, you were getting something later that night. You were getting some toilet paper or eggs or something.
You learned them. I showed them. Yeah. Mike Somich joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Speaking of the Belmont. He joins us now. He's the co-host of Ready, Set, Bet, which he does with our buddy Matt Brown. And, of course, you can follow him on Twitter at SomoBomb18. SomoBomb. We lost the SomoBomb thing. We left it back at the D, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. It was a visual effect specific to over there.
What's happening, Mike? How you doing?
Not too much, boys. I had a dentist in my neighborhood when I was growing up. And so if you went to his house for Halloween, it was always toothpaste and a toothbrush. Some years it was floss. That was the house we always avoided.
Yeah. I'm leaving that right on the front of his car
later. We're 9 years old. Can't we just get candy?
Yeah. It's not that hard.
Wow.
It's like the greatest holiday ever when you're that age. Oh, are you kidding me? And then you walk into that?
And then you talk with other friends. Don't go to that house. They give out dental floss.
Yeah, well, luckily, yes. Yeah. Luckily, word did get around.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, kids, yeah. Kids talk. Oh, yes. Mike, what about the Belmont? I know you'll be here, we have a week still to talk about this, but do you have a preliminary Belmont thought that you'd like to share?
Yeah, we're week out right now. Looks like we're going to have 7 horses in the field if we don't have any late additions. But even with the paltry numbers, still very good horses. Baeza, Journalism, and Sovereignty all expected to run at Saratoga a week from Saturday. We'll be covering it on VSiN at the track today at 2:15 Eastern, 11:15 Pacific over on at VSiN Live on the YouTube page. So make sure you check that out as well. Talking through everything, and I'm kind of surprised at what you can get in the fixed odds market right now. So Sovereignty and Journalism, your winner of the Derby, your winner of the Preakness, both sitting at plus 150 in fixed odds markets. Really? Baeza, who ran third, and a very, very good third in the Kentucky Derby, also the most likely raced horse of these three, so the most likely to improve off of that race, you can get as high as 7-1 right now in the fixed odds market. I'll take Baeza at plus 700 if I can find it anywhere. I bet some yesterday. I've been looking for today. I think Baeza ends up going off at 4-5-1 in this race. So I think there is quite a bit of value, assuming he makes the starting gate. And there's no reason to believe he wouldn't right now. So I already have a Baeza bet in my account.
Baeza, 7-1. Can I ask a really silly non-horse player question? You mentioned that right now there are 7 horses to run in the Belmont. Mike, what's the fewest number of horses where they actually do this?
And why?
2. They'll run with 2 horses. You can have match races, which are always just a mess. It turns into a jockey race because you really want to be ahead, but you don't want to go too fast to get that lead. So you'll often see it where one horse just kind of gets the lead and then pulls away down the stretch. But you can end up running with 2 horses. You'll see it sometimes when there's a race that is scheduled to be on the turf and there's a bunch of rain that comes. It rains off the turf, gets put on the dirt, and you'll see a lot of these horses who are turf horses be like, nope, not going to run in the mud. And so they'll scratch out. You'll end up with as few as 2 horses in a race. Not great betting opportunities when you get below, I would say, 5 horses. It makes it very difficult to make money in those spots.
Yeah, trivia question. What is the fewest number of horses ever run in a Belmont Stakes? Would you know the answer?
I would guess 5.
It is exactly 5. And one of those times was when Secretariat won the famous 1973 Belmont, where it was a million...
Oh, asterisk then.
Million lengths in front of everybody.
There's only 4 other horses. Asterisk.
Asterisk. Asterisk. We've completely revamped Secretariat's legacy. Just only 4 horses? That's it.
Hey, you know what makes it a lot easier when there's only 5 horses is picking a trifecta.
That is true. It's not going to pay quite as nicely, I'm told. Just getting that in my ear. Okay, to hockey. It's your time of year, man. Oilers-Panthers. The rematch, by the way, the Panthers now in their 3rd consecutive Stanley Cup final. But the Oilers and Panthers, who I mentioned earlier, last year, if you recall, I know you do, Mike, but if folks listening, again, Panthers won the first 3. Only 4 times in the history of hockey has someone come back from a 3-0 deficit and won. One was like a Stanley Cup final in the 40s with the Leafs. There was one in the mid-70s. It was a Flyers-Islanders series. And then I think there was a couple in the 2010s, if I'm not mistaken. But they tried, and they almost got there. They pushed, the Oilers did. They came back from a 3-0 deficit. They pushed to game 7 last year, but then they lost 2-1 in the 7th game. This is a coin flip series. How do you see it? How would you bet it? Do you have a Conn Smythe play? What's going on here?
Yeah, it is a coin flip series. The important note, different than last year here, Edmonton does have home ice this year. So that game 7 was in South Florida. This year would be up in Edmonton if they make it that far. I think that's important to note, as Florida was a short favorite last year. So this comes down from a pricing perspective to whether or not you believe the Eastern Conference Finals was priced properly, because Florida opened at minus 110 against the Carolina Hurricanes. And Carolina would be, I don't know, plus 130, plus 140 against the Oilers if you move that forward. So I had Florida as a minus 180 favorite over Carolina. So I do think this series is properly priced. But if you were a Carolina bettor, you almost have to be an Edmonton bettor in this series because of how that pricing adjustment's been made between the Eastern Conference Finals and the Stanley Cup Finals. I'm going to say this with a caveat, Gil. I've been wrong about Edmonton all playoffs. I thought they were going to lose in every single round. They have made it further than I expected. It's a team that on paper doesn't have the depth they had last year, doesn't have the situational scoring they had last year. There's huge question marks in goal with Stuart Skinner after he got pulled in the first series. He only returned to the net because Calvin Pickard got hurt. So there's all these questions around Edmonton, but if you listen to Pete DeBoer, the Stars head coach last night, he said this is a better Edmonton team than we played last year in the conference finals. And so that's definitely a positive toward them. I'm not going crazy here. I am going to play a little bit of Florida, though. I think they are just the better team. I think Florida should be minus 125 in this series. They're sitting at minus 110. So there's a little bit of value for me here. So I did play a little bit of Florida, but I went nuts in the Eastern Conference Finals on Florida. I'm not going to go nuts here. I do think the Conn Smythe is a very interesting market. Right now, Connor McDavid, your favorite at plus 100. I would much rather bet the Oilers minus 110 to win the series than Connor McDavid to win the Conn Smythe Award at plus 100. It's important to note the Conn Smythe Award is for the MVP of the playoffs, not this series, the entire playoffs yes. as a whole. He's currently leading the standings in points. But if you look at McDavid last year, he won this when they lost. I don't see him winning it twice in a row if they lose this series. So it feels like Edmonton has to win for McDavid to win. And if Edmonton does win, I think guys like Evan Bouchard, who's as high as 150-1. I think guys like Stuart Skinner, who's 50-1. And obviously Leon Draisaitl, who's plus 750, all in the conversation. If Florida wins, I think this thing is wide open because you could make a case for Bobrovsky, but I think Edmonton's going to put quite a few goals in the net there. So they're going to have to score to be able to respond. And I like Sam Bennett here at 30-1. He's got 10 goals in the playoffs. He's got three more goals than anyone else in this series. He's a second leading scorer for the Panthers. And if they win this series and it's because of goal scoring, Sam Bennett likely to have four or five goals in this series. If he ends up with 14 or 15 goals and Florida wins, I think he's got a very good shot at winning the Conn Smythe Award. So give me Sam Bennett here at 30-1.
I get the feeling a lot of listeners will tell you on that. Sam Bennett 30-1 to win the Conn Smythe. Again, yes, as Mike points out, a playoff award, not just a finals award. Okay, to Major League Baseball, you have a couple plays today.
I do. We'll start out with the Reds and the Cubs here. I'm a Cubs fan. I love this offense. Colin Ray has been super lucky this year. I mean, he's sitting there at 3-1. He blew up a little bit last game, but that regression monster was expected to hit. He has just been able to dance through the raindrops through the early part of the season. On the other side, Andrew Abbott's been absolutely dealing for this Reds team, and his underlying numbers support what he has been doing. I have this game at Cubs minus 125, so I'm happy to play the Reds here at plus 142 with the Cubs sitting all the way up at minus 158. So give me the Reds money line plus 142 if you want to play Reds first five. I don't hate that either. That's right around plus 130. And then my favorite bet of the day, let's go to the Twins and the Mariners here. You've got Zebby Matthews on the hill for the Twins. He's been a touted prospect for them over the last 2 years. Came up late in the season last year to Major League Baseball. He really struggled. He's got good stuff, but he's yet to prove it at the major league level. But he's still being priced for his stuff, not actually what he has done. You got Wu on the hill here for the Mariners. I think this is a huge pitching advantage for the Mariners. And the offensive disadvantage isn't that great for the Mariners because the Twins can't really hit either. So you can get the Mariners here first five plus 105 if you lay the half run. So I'm going to go ahead, lay the half run with a better pitcher and an equal offense here and the Seattle Mariners. So first five minus a half run, Seattle plus 105 for me.
Brutal beat for underbetters in that Mariners Nationals game last night. Did you see that? Mariners Nationals yesterday was it 2-2 going into extras, and it ended up 9-3, a seventh spot for the Nationals in the 10th inning. All right, real quick before you go, World Series, you have a bet to win it all.
Yeah, give me the Braves at 25-1. They have the second best team in baseball when you look at a healthy Braves organization. Strider was much better in his third start, and adding Ronald Acuna Jr. makes everybody better. Look what Kyle Tucker did to the Cubs offense. Acuna Jr. playing at an MVP level, I think, makes this Braves team interesting. It's the last chance to get 25-1 on them.
We close out with a true Samo bomb. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it.
You got it. Have a good weekend, guys.
Mike Somich, everybody. Again, ready, set, bet. He's got his horse racing show coming up 2:10 Eastern today at the tracks. Coming back, recapping everything next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, un partido de números. Right here, Circa Sports, Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. I'm out next week.
You are?
Matt Brown will be in my chair.
That's right.
Matty Brown.
Back where he belongs.
The band's all back together.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys will have a good old time here next week doing the show. Again, Stanley Cup final does not begin till Wednesday. NBA finals do not begin till Thursday. Of course, we still have the NBA, one series still going. That resumes tomorrow night, so we'll see if there's any of those to be played early next week. As far as the best bets of this program, recapped by GBank, the official bank of VSiN, each and every show, every host, every guest, every sport, I am on two tennis plays here. The Gigante match has begun, however. Mateo Gigante and Ben Shelton, they are just started that match on serve here early. The one that has not started, I'm on big foe, Francis Tiafoe, minus 101, going against his countryman, Sebastian Corda. Two Americans in Paris. Francis Tiafoe is the play. That should start in about, well, maybe it's about to start. Has it started? No, has not yet. That will start at 12:25 p.m. So you got about a half hour plus. My three college, and by the way, and you missed it earlier, Tigers. I got them at 16-1, most wins in the month of June. They came out at 22-1. I didn't get that. Now they're down to 6-1 or 5-ish to 1, somewhere in that pocket. If you were asking me what would I play now, probably the Diamondbacks have the best value. But I got the Tigers officially as my play, 16-1. Vandy, Texas, Northeastern. Those are my three plays to win the College World Series. Vanderbilt and Texas, both at plus 950. Northeastern at 125-1 here at Circa. This, of course, with the regionals beginning today. And our own Jensen Lewis hanging out in Athens, Georgia, doing it as well.
That's right.
What you got?
I'm pumped.
What you got?
A lot of great afternoon sports to watch the next couple days. I'm with you on Tiafoe. Mateo, this is Kelly's card of tailing today, basically. Francis
card
Tiafoe, I'm with you on that one, Gil.
Thank you.
Well, then I went a little rogue here. FSU to win the regional. But this is, we were talking about it, shop around on these regional prices. I think Caesars has this at FSU's minus 150, I think, in this market. I'm getting plus 110 here at Circa. So I'm in on Florida State to win the Tallahassee regional. And then some Champions League tomorrow, PSG and Inter under 2.5 and Inter on the three-way line plus 250 and then 2-0 or 2-0. Sorry. Exact score, 16-1.
You should be sorry.
Should be.
Awful breach.
Apologies, Europe.
By the way, start time of that Champions League final.
3 Eastern.
3 Eastern today, tomorrow. Yep. Pardon me. 3 Eastern tomorrow, noon Pacific. 3 Eastern, noon Pacific for the Champions League final. Matt Grissom, college baseball. He went firing today with all of his bets. These are all games now. Oklahoma State at even money. Kansas State at plus 105. He's got Western Kentucky on the run line, plus a run and a half. West Virginia taking on Kentucky. He's got West Virginia at minus 125, and he's got UC Irvine at minus 130. Those are all individual game plays. And then to win their respective regionals, he's got Irvine at plus 250 and Georgia Tech at plus 180. To win their regional. That all from Matt Grissom of College Baseball. And then Paul Carr's best bets. Inter Milan to win the Champions League final, plus 240. The PSG Inter Milan under 2.5 goals, minus 110. And Jan Sommer, 5-plus saves at plus 240. Christopher Felica. PSG Inter draw. He's sprinkling a little on that at plus 235. He, too, is on the PSG Inter under. At 2.5 goals.
If you're interested in that, I would. Like, Chris, I didn't know the exact stats off the top of my head, so Felica did a great job with it. Like, it has been, it's almost tradition to just go under on these Champions League finals now.
Hasn't been an under since, I want to say, like 2018.
He had the exact date. I forgot what he said, but like 2.5, there are not many minus 110s out there. So if you are looking to bet that, I would bet that this morning.
He also was doing some college baseball. Mississippi State to win the regional at 3-1. Mississippi State to win the College World Series outright at 50-1. And then the Stanley Cup final, he has got Brad Marchand to win the Conn Smythe at 60-1, taking a shot on Marchand. And then Coach of the Year, National Football League, Jonathan Gannon, the Arizona Cardinals. What could go wrong? 20-1 to win Coach of the Year in the NFL. And Adam Burke got a couple baseball plays today. Phillies first five money line, minus 135 today as the Phillies try to take the May title for most wins. A's Blue Jays, yes, first inning run. The kids call that a Yurfy. A's Blue Jays, yes, to score first inning run from Adam. And then NFL from him as well as the betting guide is coming out. The NFL betting guide, the VSiN NFL betting guide, July the 1st. He himself, he likes the Broncos over 9.5 wins and the Broncos 3-1 to win the AFC West.
I got one more for you, Gil, and sorry to Larry because I apparently just forgot to punch this one in. Mike Somich was also on the show.
Yes,
he is on Mariners first five, laying a half run at plus 105. Reds money line today, plus 145. For the Stanley Cup, he's on the Panthers -110 series price. Sam Bennett 30-1 to win the Conn Smythe, and Braves 25-1 to win the World Series.
Introducing the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. All you need to do is open a GBank Visa Signature credit card. In the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet. To trigger the $500 trifecta, you'll receive $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa Signature credit card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match. VSiN completes the trifecta with a free VSiN Pro subscription through August 31st, a $200 value. That's the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. Head to VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. This one-time promotion is limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions apply. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Dan Groeschel. I also had a dentist in my neighborhood, but he always gave out big batches of candy. He justified it by calling it a business decision.
So I've seen that before, and that's the smart route. Come on, you're playing the long game.
Give the kids cavities.
Yeah, load those kids up with cavities.
Mm-hmm.
Slipping a business card in there for their parents then.
Win-win is what I call
it. That's right.
David Shalafour. Yo. Picturing a young Kelly Bidlin kicking a pumpkin and pulling a hammy.
Yep.
Yeah, were you prone to injury at that age as well?
No, that's later in life. Later I would have kicked your pumpkin though. I was a piece of crap kid on Halloween. Oh yeah.
Well, what was wrong with you? Why were you like that?
I don't know. I was just a punk, stupid punk running around doing dumb things.
Kelly Bidlin was a teenage punk, ladies and gentlemen. That's what we got out of there.
Scotty Scheffler, 3 under for his round.
Is that right?
Yeah.
At the memorial, Scotty Scheffler doing his thing.
It's cool.
Right now, they've resumed play after having some weather this morning. Is that correct?
Did they ever stop? I don't think they stopped.
Oh, they played
it
through
just, it? It was just slow rain. Slow drizzle.
Slow drizzle.
Making green softer for Scotty Scheffler. That's what he needs. Stops that ball easier.
That's exactly right. By the way, again, the leaderboard, Ben Griffin, your first round leader, yet to tee off. He's about to. In about an hour, Ben Griffin 7 under. Scheffler now 2 back. On the tournament, but as Kelly said, 3 under for the day through 6, so he's 5 under. Morikawa, yet to tee off, also 2 back at 5 under par. Nick Taylor, 3 back at 4 under, and then your guy Shane Lowry, 4 back.
Yeah, Keegan, 2 over for his round. Siwoo, 1 over for his round. That's cool. That's cool. Glad there's only 3 minutes left in the show. I'm ready to rocket this laptop through this window.
Yeah, try not to do that. Don't revert to Kelly Bidlin, teenage punk.
This is like Scheffler just kills you, man. He just rips out your soul.
The hamburger, Yelena Ostapenko down a break in the first set against Rybakina. So it'd be nice to take out Iga's kryptonite, get her out of the way.
Yeah, that'd be good.
All right, so before we go here, thoughts on the Pacers and the Knicks game 6? Because we didn't really get into it earlier, because last night's game was kind of meh.
Yeah.
But the Pacers, who were 2-point favorites, and remember even ticked down to 1.5 in game 4 back in Indiana, they're 4-point favorites in game 6. The pressure reverts the Pacers. Remember, only 13 times in the history of the NBA has a team come back from a 3-1 deficit in a best-of-7 series. 8 of those 13 were teams that had home court still in games 5 and 7. The Knicks are in that subset. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to be the 9th team to do that all time and the 14th overall to come back from a 3-1 deficit. Pacers 4-point favorites. 219.5 is the total here. Do you have any feel for this series at this point?
Man, not really. I'm glad you worded it that way. I'm glad we have our Pacers series price. I think Pacers close things out at home. I can't really justify laying 4 points in this game 6, though. That would be the side that I would lean to. I'd also say lean to the under in a game 6, but actually they're probably pretty correlated with total with the side. If you're looking at the Pacers, you're probably liking them to pick up the pace a little bit more and go to the over. Knicks, if you like the Knicks, you're probably really dialed in on that under actually. I would think those are pretty correlated for game 6, Gil. I expect Pacers to look better in game 6 back at home. But man, these two teams have played very tight. You take that game 1 result away, this could easily be 3-2 the other way with the Knicks. I believe the point differential right now, the Knicks actually have scored 6 more points in the series than the Pacers. So it's really tight. I would be shocked, though, if we saw as flat of a Pacers team as we saw last night.
And OKC the whole time chilling, hoping that New York wins game 6, so those guys just keep playing. That's what they're hoping for.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't really think they care much.
They probably don't. But if they have their druthers, and who doesn't have their druthers? they would want that series to extend, and they just chill and wait for the Thursday beginning of the NBA Finals. We've done all we can do. Enjoy. Money Moves with JVT is next. Stormy's still out. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.